This week's Haftorah, the Navi Yeshaya refers to the Mabul as Mei Noach, the waters of Noach. Ki Mei Noach zo sli, asher nishvati me'avor Mei Noach od al ha'oretz, ke nishvati mekzof alayach u'migor boch. Kadosh Baruch Hu promises that just like he took a shvua not to bring a Mabul on the world anymore, so too he takes a shvua that in the future he's not going to be angry with Kal Yisrael anymore, he's not going to cause them any more pain. Why is the Mabul referred to as Mei Noach? It sounds like Noach is held responsible for the Mabul. It's attributed to him. Somehow it was his fault. Noach, we know, was the Tzadik Hador. There was a lot of Hashchasa at the time of the Mabul, but Noach wasn't guilty of that Hashchasa. So why is he blamed for the Mabul? There's a famous comment of the Zohar that Noach is blamed for the Mabul because he didn't daven for his generation. He didn't daven that the world shouldn't be destroyed. First glance, the comment of the Zohar seems puzzling. Because we know that Noach built a teva for 120 years. Kadosh Baruch Hu told him to build a teva so that he could be mochiach the generation, to tell them what they're doing wrong, tell them the Mabul is coming. So how can we understand that Noach didn't daven for the generation? He was mochiach the generation for 120 years and he didn't take the time out to daven for the generation that maybe the Mabul shouldn't occur, the world shouldn't be destroyed. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz explains that perhaps the reason why Noach didn't daven is because he didn't think that his tefillah would accomplish anything. He felt that the generation was so far gone that although he'd follow Hashem's request, his command to be mochiach the generation, to try to get them to be chozer b'tshuva, but he knew too well that they weren't going to be chozer b'tshuva. So he realized that there was no value to the tefillah, and that's why he didn't daven. After all, we find that when Avram Avinu is told that Sodom is going to be destroyed, Avram davens for Sodom. But when he finds out that there aren't even 10 tzaddikim in Sodom, it's like the Dor HaMabul, they don't even have 10 tzaddikim, so then he stops davening. So maybe that's what happened with Noach. Noach realized there weren't enough tzaddikim at the time of the Dor HaMabul to save the generation. So he realized that his tefillah wouldn't accomplish anything, and that's why he didn't daven. And if that's the case, then why is he held responsible for the Mabul? If his tefillah wouldn't accomplish anything, so then, obviously, he wasn't going to daven. Why is he held responsible? Zokt Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the answer is because when people are Be'ez Tzara, when the world is in crisis, when the world is Be'ez Tzara, you have to cry out. As the Brisker Rav used to say, when a person is in pain, he cries out even if he realizes that crying out is not going to help. It's not going to relieve the pain. He cries out because it hurts. And the same is true when someone else is in pain. When someone is in pain, we have to cry out. The Gemara says in Sota, on Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, that Shlosha Hayu Be'etza, there were three advisors of Paro that were in the Eitza in the decision of Hava Nishak Malo to defeat Bnei Yisrael. Bilam HaRosha, Eov, and Yisrael. What did each of these advisors get? What was their punishment? So Bilam HaRasha, because he gave the Eitzah, the Kalabeinah, Hayila, Hayarat, Hashlichu, to throw the children into the water. He gave the Eitzah to kill them, to kill the babies, so he was killed. Eov kept quiet, so he was punished with terrible Yisr. And Yisro ran away, so he was Zocha that his descendants sat in the Lishkas Hagosis. He was Zocha to great things. The question is, why was Eov punished so severely? After all, he didn't give the gzeira. He didn't give the Eitzah to have the gzeira. So, why was he punished? He just kept quiet. Zokt Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, because Eov didn't empathize with the plight of Klal Yisrael. He didn't give the Eitzah, but if he really empathized with the plight of Klal Yisrael, he wouldn't have been able to keep quiet. He wouldn't have been able to sit there, to stand there, and not to protest, or at least to run away, which is a protest as well. He wouldn't have been able not to protest at all. Because even if the protest wouldn't have changed the gzeira, he should have cried out. And that's in fact perhaps why he was punished with Yisurim. That he should feel pain. He should learn to feel pain. The pain of someone else. The pain of Klal Yisrael as a result of the gzeira that they received. That's perhaps why Noach is criticized. Because even if Noach's tefillah wouldn't have accomplished anything, he should have davened, he should have cried out for his generation who were going to be destroyed. Avraham Avinu had davened already on behalf of Sodom, so when he realized that there was nothing that his tefillah could accomplish, he stopped davening. But Noah should have davened at least a little bit. He should have cried out in pain for his generation at least a little bit. And the fact that he didn't daven, on his level, of course, the fact that he didn't daven, that's why he's criticized, and the Mabel is referred to as Mei Noach. It's his water, because he's held at full just a little bit because he didn't daven. This might help explain as well why Noach had to work so hard in the Teva. Pasuk says, Vayishar ach Noach vasher ita bateva. Ach is a mute. Sounds like Noach was missing something. Rashi explains that he was goneach v'cho hadam. According to one interpretation of Rashi, Noach was spitting up blood from all the extreme exhaustion of running around and feeding the animals. What was he spitting up blood for? Why did it have to be so difficult? Maybe the answer is that Noach had to feel a little bit of pain. To feel the pain that he should have felt for the world, for the entire Dor that was getting destroyed by the Mabul. The pain that he didn't feel, that didn't galvanize him to want to daven. He had to feel some pain in the Teva to be mechaper for the lack of concern that he demonstrated for not davening for his generation. How often do we share someone else's pain? You know, there are some times that they say Tehillim in the Beis Medrash after Mincha. How often do we say the Tehillim with Kavana? Do we really feel an emotion when we say the Tehillim? Do we think about the Chola that they're davening for? Or maybe even if we don't know the Chola that they're davening for, but we think of another Chola that we are aware of? Do we really get into it? Do we really feel that Tehillim? Or maybe we're just anxious to move on. We can't wait for the Tehillim to get done with so that we can walk to our class. Do we really feel someone else's pain? I heard a story once about a young teenage girl who received a phone call from a friend of hers that her mother happened to overhear the conversation on the phone. The girl received a phone call from a close friend who was calling to share good news with her. Apparently, a chola that the two of them had been davening for was doing very well, much better than before. So the girl was overjoyed. She said, "Wow, that's great. I'm so happy. Tonight I'm going to sleep with a pillow." So when she got off the phone, her mother asked her, "What's with the pillow?" The girl was sort of taken aback. She didn't realize the mother was listening in. She sheepishly turned to the mother and said, "Well, there's this chola that my friend and I are davening for. When, you know, when we started davening for the chola, I felt like I wanted to share her pain a little bit. So I decided I was going to sleep without a pillow. But now she's doing a lot better. So I feel like now I can start to sleep with a pillow again." This girl understood what it means to be no sibah older than to feel someone else's pain. It's not easy to put yourself into someone else's shoes. It's not easy to share someone else's pain. But it's a level that we should all strive for. Good Shabbos.